From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look inside Everbank Field, where yesterday the Jaguars fell in Week 15 to the Atlanta Falcons 23-17. Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton will break down yesterday's game, look at what's ahead for the Jaguars. We'll start off with yesterday's final of 23-17. Blake Bortles statistically 297 through the air, a touchdown through the air, and one on the ground as well. Denard Robinson, not a great day running the ball for the Jags. Paul Posluszny led the way defensively for this team. All of that said, the Jags still have a sliver of hope for the playoffs, and we'll get to that.
Tighten up.
Coming up, that's for sure.
Tighten up.
Yeah, you got to root for the Titans. Yeah.
And I think that sliver is I think you're being generous with that now that we know that Marcus Mariota has a knee injury probably isn't going to play. Now you're relying on Zach Mettenberger, a backup quarterback. So all that looks so promising, you know, when Mariota goes down and Mettenberger hasn't really shown anything, I would think that got even thinner.
Playing quarterbacks on the other side aren't very good, so we'll see.
That's true.
But you're playing Drew Brees this week.
All right. That's the elephant in the room.
We'll get to the scenarios coming up. We'll start with the third down issues in this game. We'll start off on the Jags' offensive side. You know, they were 0-for-8 on third downs, but a lot of the issue came early, and third downs were an issue on both sides, of course. The defense has not been great on third downs this year. That continued yesterday, especially in the second half. Third downs, issues on both sides of the football yesterday.
Well, I guess I wasn't nearly as concerned with the issues on offense because it didn't feel like those just overwhelmed the game to me. It wasn't great. 0-for-8 is never good, but I don't think that was necessarily a deciding factor. They still got some points on offense. I thought the fumbles on offense in the second half were more indicative. But the third down on defense, it's been going on all year. In that way, I thought yesterday was symbolic, a microcosm of the whole season. You knew going into that game, if you didn't pressure Matt Ryan, he was good enough to convert third downs, and he did. And it kept the ball in the second half, and it decided the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't think they could pressure Matt Ryan, and I don't think they can pressure Drew Brees. So, to me, the issues on third down on offense created problems for the defense because they couldn't sustain any drives whatsoever. And those fumbles, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think both fumbles were on second and short. One was second and one.
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, you convert those two and keep drives alive, you know, now the defense doesn't have to spend as much time out on the field. Forget pressure for a moment. You know, they did a nice job in some situations of taking away Julio Jones, and then you could see. I mean, I watched as Roddy White went in motion and Nick Marshall followed him, and Matt Ryan's head was lasered in on that, and they went right there for the first down on third down and 7. And they did it again later in the game. It's just, you know, there were some holes on this defense we all knew going in, and Matt Ryan knew them too and was able to take advantage.
Yeah, and I hear that at the same time. Every defense has holes. Most defenses cover up those holes
with
by getting teams into third and long and generating pressure on third and long. And your percentages on third and long are supposed to play out where you get them off the field two or three times out of three. I mean, two times out of three, and they don't.
Without a pass rush, you can't do it.
Right.
I mean, I think Nick Marshall played pretty well against the Colts, and and Gus obviously said as much, and he played because of that. But when you have Roddy White working against an undrafted rookie cornerback converting from quarterback, you need some semblance of a pass rush, anything to make him move his feet. And on those throws, as I watched them, and I watched very carefully, there was none whatsoever. So, you know, the hole was made even bigger.
Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Gus Bradley coming up at 1 o'clock, his weekly Monday press conference. We'll carry that live right here. On the offensive side, we'll get to Blake Bortles' day coming up, but he was not helped at all by the run game. 72 yards rushing for the Jags, 28 of those by starting running back Denard Robinson. You mentioned the couple of fumbles that killed the momentum in the second half. But now that's turning into a bit of a theme this year. The running back and running game situation for this team has not been great. T.J. Yeldon now battling a knee injury. He's got 740 yards leading the way. D-Rob had a knee injury early in the year, battled back now. Bortles is among your leading rushers. That's never good. You got three running backs on IR, Gerhardt, Pearson, Grant, and Brandon Linder, the right guard as well. The Jags are 19th in the league in running the football, and it's been a topic and an issue all season for an offense that was set to run the football.
Well,
this
not having Linder hurts. I mean, he is so good. And I think that we're seeing that, you know, there's a reason that Stefan Wisniewski was on the free agent market besides just the shoulder as long as he was. He's okay, but there's no movement in the middle of that offensive line.
Hasn't been in many, many weeks.
Yeah. And now look, you've got a rookie guard and that has to play into some of that. And I'm sure that Stefan, you know, can look at the tape and point to places where he's got to overload to help out here and there. But, when you get Linder back, and if Can makes the move over to left guard, like a lot of people think he should or could next year, then I think you'll be much better in that perspective. But there's just no movement at all. I thought the Jags would be able to run yesterday. Mm-hmm. You're missing William Moore, who's a very good run-playing safety. And Paul Warlow, their middle linebacker, who may not be all-world but was their leading tackler, was out of the game too. So I was surprised that they couldn't find more running room.
I think center is a huge priority. I think once you get that fixed, it wouldn't surprise me if Linder was the one who made the move. We'll see how that works in the offseason because I think he's good enough to do.
I'm just thinking into the starting lineup and
right.
Opposed to Zane Beatles.
Get them, but right. And but you've got to get better at the center spot. And I think once you do, the pieces are there on the starting five to be okay. Or, I mean, not to be fine on the offensive line. So as far as the running game this year, I don't know that you're going to see any major difference. I don't think you're going to be a team that all of a sudden finds 160 yards rushing in a game in these last two games.
Right.
I think this team is what it is right now.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles yesterday, some bad. Of course, the bad was punctuated by the interception at the end of the first half. A 10-point swing if the Jags score there, of course, a touchdown, and then it was returned all the way back almost and set up a field goal at the end of the half, so a 10-point swing there. But then the good came after that. Threw a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown the first two drives of the second half, and got the team back in the game. So some bad, some good. At the end of the day, it's still a loss for Blake Bortles.
Well, much like the defense was sort of a microcosm of the season, I thought Blake's game yesterday very much. Worlds improved from last year, and as long as he continues improving, it's a strength. It's what this franchise needs. He's going to be fine. But in the context of this season, because you're playing so many close games, every mistake that he makes stands out. Wow. It's just really costly. Any mistake in the red zone is cost. But overall, you know, I didn't think he played bad, but that one play just kills you.
You know, I would have no way of knowing this, and I'm sure he would disagree with the sentiment. I wonder if the magnitude of the game, the fact that, you know, there was a lot on the line for this team, maybe caught up with him because he just seemed off in terms of his accuracy yesterday. And in particular when he was on the run, mm-hmm. which is generally when he's more accurate, I just wonder if he was forcing some things. You know, he missed Julius, who was wide open down the sideline. You know, that's not a play that he normally misses, and he was, you know, he's mobile. And then he missed Hearns at the end of the game where he stepped up into the pocket, and I thought, great patience, and you know, Hearns separated late. I get that. He just wasn't accurate yesterday, and I thought that was the problem.
Yeah,
and I'm not even talking about the low throw to the tight end.
That's sort of what he's been all season, hot and cold a little bit. And
completion percentage bears that out.
Yeah. So again, many fans are very frustrated with that game yesterday. I thought the game was not very surprising based on what this team is right now as development. It can't rush the passer with four, and it is young and inconsistent on offense. We've seen flashes. Even yesterday, you saw flashes. You saw three straight drives where you said, yes, these are the good things that this team does right now. At the same time, you saw long stretches where they started off slow. They couldn't run. The same things that have sort of hurt them all year hurt them, and yesterday they didn't quite make the play at the end to overcome it. But I think that's what this team is, and they know exactly what they are going forward, so they can fix some things in the offseason.
Well, and the reality of what they are has been glossed over, if you want to say it, by the fact that neither the Colts nor the Texans are a dominant team, and it just seems, as we went through the course of the season, there were opportunities mm-hmm. when Andrew Luck all of a sudden is going to miss time, and they cut Mallett and Hoyer can't stay in the lineup, and then yesterday T.J. Yates goes out, and now you're playing with Brandon Whedon. So I think maybe we've seen the opportunities in front of them and thought, hey, they're playing really well on offense right now, they can win the division, and the reality of it is they're inconsistent on offense, and the offense has to carry the defense without a pass rush right now. The only way you're going to beat Drew Brees on Sunday is if you convert on third down and score. Keep him on the sideline. So the reality is they are what they are, and they know what they are, and they can fix it.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, I've been looking all day. I was on the radio earlier. And I kept trying to come up with something. Wow. Let's say something new about what's going on. Let's try to figure out what happened yesterday that's unusual. But unfortunately, it wasn't unusual because they can't get pressure with four. And we talked all last week about what a vital thing that was going to be, but they can't do it. I wish they could.
It is what it is.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be saying tighten up right now.
That's very true. And to that end, let's take a look at the AFC South standings entering Week 16. Houston leads the way now, 7-7. They're in control. Indy at 6-8. Of course, the Jags at 5-9. Tennessee 3-11. The Titans are battling for the number one overall pick. The remaining schedule for each team: the Colts get the Dolphins in Miami, and then Tennessee, Houston at Tennessee, and then against Jacksonville. Of course, the Jags at the Saints and at the Texans. Here's the path to the playoffs, the one chance the Jaguars have to get in. They must win out. Houston must lose out. Indy must lose Week 17 to Tennessee. So basically, the Titans have to win out and the Jags have to win out.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And so I think most of the week on Jaguars.com, I'll be writing about what a great coach Mike Mularkey is. Tighten up. Let's go.
It's amazing it comes down to that.
That's where we're at.
Full circle, huh?
Small NFL world.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see. Quite a challenge ahead, though. The Saints next week in the Dome, like you said, Drew Brees, guy who's been around, he's pushing 60,000 yards in his career.
I thought you were going to say he's pushing 60. He might be. He's been around
a long time.
You realize
he's still a very good player.
Since he joined the Saints in 2006, no quarterback, none, not Peyton Manning, not Tom Brady, none, has thrown for more yards and more touchdowns than he has. And it's remarkable because he's not the biggest, he's not the strongest, he's not the most fleet of foot. But Mark Brunell was telling me yesterday on the field that he's never seen a guy who can't get enough like he does. Now, he'd never been around Peyton, but he says, you know, on Friday afternoons, they would, you know, come off the practice field, spend an hour, get up to leave, and Breeze would stay there for two more hours grinding away. And, you know, his intellect and his understanding of the game is so sharp that he overcomes the receivers on the field, the linemen in front of him, although he's got a pretty good line this year, the back behind him. You got to convert.
The fascinating thing about watching him, and I covered Peyton for 10 years, so I've been around really outstanding quarterbacks. Breeze just attacks you, and he goes after it, and he's always looking for the big play downfield. You know, you got to pressure this guy and make him uncomfortable, and I don't know if this team can do it.
I think what you have to do is you have to hope that you can take the ball away once or twice. What you're hoping is that you convert 7-14 on third down, and you score in the red zone, and you keep pace, and then you get a takeaway, or you get a third down stop, you know, every quarter, one here or there to tilt it in your favor. I watched, we were there in 2007, and he was absolutely in his prime at that point. And I remember standing on the field and watching him standing at his own 48 and dropping the ball in the receiver's arms at the 4-yard line. They didn't break stride. The ball was on the spot every time. He is hyper accurate. I haven't really watched. I'm going to watch tonight. I'll see if he's still got that level of accuracy. His numbers say that he does. So these guys are going to have to spend a little extra time, and then they're going to have to make sure they're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, so that's what we have to look forward to this week. The New Orleans Saints hosting the Jaguars this Sunday. But for the general thought about this season going into it, right? Mm-hmm. You wanted to be in the hunt in December, right? You wanted to be in games in fourth quarter at this time of year. And the talked about this time of season. That's what's happened for this Jaguars team on offense. The defense, not so much, but yes, on offense, they're getting some national publicity, and they're in the hunt. That's what everybody wanted, right?
Well, but you're in the hunt at 5-9. So, yes, you wanted to be in the hunt. You wanted to play meaningful games. Beyond all that, I still think the key with this team is you've played 14 games and you've been in 13 of them.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case last year. So if you're looking for something to hang your hat on, you know you can move the ball offensively. You know you have certain strengths, and it's very clear what the weaknesses are. So it's not like 2 years ago when you looked at it and said, hey, Dave, what are your needs? Well, pick one, huh? But it's pass rusher. You need a safety. You need to get faster on defense, and you need to shore up the interior of the line. Beyond that, there's a lot of tools going forward, but those big tools this year that haven't been there are the things that have killed them very, very consistently. You know what you are, and you know what you're not.
There is a palpable sense of frustration and disappointment in Jacksonville this morning. That's progress. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, last year at this time, I remember sitting in the press box and I turned to, I think, Sam Kavaris and said, it'd be great if this time next year there's even the sliver of a mathematical chance. I mean, 16 things have to fall your way. But just so we could talk about that in the pregame as opposed to where they're picking, who they might pick, who you're going to watch at the Senior Bowl and the Combine and all that. And clearly, they've gotten to that level. So it's now a matter of next year being able to close the door and, win an Indy and beat the teams that you're supposed to beat that come in with six-game losing mm-hmm. streaks and, that kind of stuff that didn't happen this year.
We'll also get some updates on the injuries for the Jaguars, probably including T.J. Yeldon, who missed last week's game. And a few guys were nicked up yesterday and came back into the ballgame. So we'll get those updates as well before Gus Bradley is scheduled to speak. We'll carry that for you live right here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Should Yeldon be back, or should they put him on IR?
Well, it just depends on his health. I'm not one to necessarily say, you have to put him on IR because there's two games left in the season. If he's healthy enough to go, play him. If he's not, then you don't. So until we know more about the injury, it's hard to say.
I think that you absolutely don't do anything this week because, you go in there and win and things fall your way.
Tighten up.
Yeah, exactly. Then maybe you want to have him for the final week. But if you're not
if you put him on IR,
there's
not
anybody behind him that you're dying to get up. Yeah.
Right.
So there's no reason for the roster spot. Just leave him and see what happens this week.
Final thought before you go to Gus, way off topic. Marquise Lee yesterday, a couple outstanding catches. Got to figure out a way somehow. Three wide receivers said something to get him on the field. He's ready. He's healthy. And he's too important not to know what he is going forward.
And when you look at him, you're seeing the same timing issues between he and Blake that you saw between Blake and Julius early on, mm-hmm. and they're working those out on the practice field week in and week out. He continues to A, play, which is a big story,
yep.
and B, get closer to being on the same page with his quarterback.
I mean, that play he made at the end of the game yesterday, I know it was fluky because the ball was bouncing around. Athletically, it was unlike anybody else in this team can even think about doing.
And heart. I mean, he wanted that in the worst. You could see the look in his face. He wanted it in the mm-hmm. worst way. Give me more guys like that.
Yeah. He needs, if he can be the factor next year in this offense, mm-hmm. you might be talking about one of the great wide receiver draft free agent classes in the last 25 years.
Oh, the potential's there.
Phenomenal.
You're right. Yeah, it's very, very good with the potential to get much, much better.
Speaking of heart, Paul Posluszny had himself a game yesterday on the defensive side with a club hand, 10 tackles, 9 solo, 2 for a loss, and his third interception of the season. An incredible game for a guy who had one hand.
And I was thinking about this last night as I was driving home. Too bad they didn't win that game, because if they win that game, then that's an effort by Posluszny that goes down in Jaguars lore. I mean, and I get that they would have still been 6-8, so you can't put it up with some of the stuff that's happened before. But talking about a guy playing with a club on his hand, gets the pick, and even he said, he goes, yeah, I'm glad Jared set that up for me so well, because if it had been coming in any faster, he wouldn't have gotten it. But led the team in tackles, and they held the Falcons yesterday to 5 yards rushing in the second half. Figured out what they needed to figure out after that one drive. But a phenomenal effort by him and the defensive front in the second half against the run.
It goes down in my own personal Jaguars lore. I mean, it's one of those games that I'll always remember, because he was unstoppable yesterday. I mean, played with great heart.